Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We crossed to Tokyo, where isolating for the next couple of days was our old mate Justin Morehouse, yes. Comedian.
On the corporate jolly, as we told him.
Yes. He's got a little gig out at the Olympics, and we found out what life was like for him. We also spoke to Mark Cavendish, Tour de France cyclist. Yes. Incredible feat over the last few weeks for Mark over at the Tour.
His legs must still be aching. He's just back... not quarantining, is he? He's having to isolate with his kids, all sorts. You know?
But he was great. He was really fantastic. Great. And some achievement. He talked us through that. And we had a birthday spread, which was an absolute joy. So, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Watched that 100 last night.
Well, we're going to talk to Ricky Clark a little bit later on, get a player's perspective on it. I did watch it, and it was good for them because they got a good game. It was a really exciting game.
It was a really good game. 12 for 3, and then they won. That was good, wasn't it?
A really, really exciting end to the match. So that was fantastic. It's going to be very difficult for the commentary teams. I was kind of cutting between Sky's coverage and the BBC's coverage at different times to see. But essentially, they were giving it that same flavour, very kind of youth-orientated, get the kids involved. There were a lot of kids there. Apparently, a lot of tickets were given out to families and kids to give it that family feel. Be interesting to see tonight when it's a men's game. And, you know, people can have a beer if they want to.
Yeah.
Because the last hour of a T20, as any outfielder will tell you, they can get a bit boorish.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd come in and they're fine at 6 o'clock. Boys are on the outfield.
A few pints in.
And especially if I tend to go to the games at the Oval or Lords. And if it's the away team, there'll be a bunch of Herberts there. Mm. And they'll start getting into the boys on the boundary.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see if the atmosphere is slightly different. But it was very family oriented.
Well, I've been quite negative about it, Paul. But you inspired me yesterday, Paul, to be positive about it. Go into it. We love sport. We like watching sport.
Yeah.
And I love watching cricket. So I sat and had a few pints watching it, and I sat outside watching it on my phone and having a few pints. And then I thought, I wonder if it's actually cricket that I like, or do I just like drinking outside?
It's probably a bit of both.
And I do wonder if cricket is as popular as it is because people just like drinking outdoors.
There is a constituency that like that. Some go over the top. But it is going to be difficult for the commentators. Rob Key in those first few moments, I'm not calling him out for this because it's understandable. Because it's this whole vocabulary you've lived your whole life with.
Yeah.
And you're suddenly told to kind of forget it.
Yeah.
So he was chatting to one of the bowlers before the game and said, how many balls do you expect to bowl? And
straight away.
And Phil Tufnell was on the BBC with Michael Vaughan and Isha. And they were kind of chatting it through. But I think it was Tuff has said, you know, bowling just short of a length.
Yeah.
I mean,
can you explain that?
Yeah, but the thing, yeah, I mean, there were times there was a stumping in the game.
Okay.
And Michael Vaughan sort of told you what a stumping was, not in a patronising way. It was dealt with very quickly.
Yeah.
But it's a bit like we said the other day with ITV Racing, the way they've approached it. Ed Chamberlain and the people behind it wanted to bring a fresh audience to it. And so there will be times when things are explained to you as a cricket fan and you think, well, yeah, I know that. But yeah, there might be people watching that don't. You know,
isn't it?
You want more people to love the sport you love. So why not lead them by the hand? I don't have a problem with that. But they're going to use that kind of vocab. They can't help it because they've been talking about cricket in that way for so long.
I did just watch it and go, well, I love cricket. Everybody loves cricket. Yeah. So why... I didn't understand five ball. I know you've got to fit it into 100 balls, but I was just like, I don't understand why you have to have five ball overs. Just you can leave some things as they are. Do you know what?
Well, they're not five ball overs.
Change whatever they're called.
What are these overs of which you speak?
You know what I mean.
But like, you're not. Look, I'm not, and you're not.
It's
the
not
target
for me,
audience,
is
you
it?
Know. We'll
it's
watch
not for
it.
Me.
I'll watch a game of cricket in the park, yeah. Let alone. On
yeah,
the telly at
with
the
a
Oval.
Pint in your hand.
Yeah,
you just like drinking outdoors, Paul.
That's what it is. I'll go and get some cans from the offie. I'll climb over the fence,
just
and then I'll go and watch a game.
Just
in
walk
the
into
park.
Work as a park, and I'll just go and get some cans.
Yeah, okay. I think really it's the drinking. The cricket seems you could do without the cricket, Charlie.
Perhaps so they should just do that, just drinking outdoors.
But,
you know. A trick I think they've missed is making it mixed teams. I think it could have been men and women in one. I think you could, if you're going to really change it, play men and women in the same team.
Okay,
that's how I would have revolutionised the game to make it more accessible to everybody. Then you don't need a women's game and a men's game. You just have
that
the
would
game.
Be bold. They are. I mean, really, they are standalone sports. They're the same sports, but they're different.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And but you could have just women can only bowl at women and men can only
oh,
only
okay.
bowl
so
at
you're
men.
Joffre.
No, not I mean, but
Mark
I just
Wood.
Think I think that's how you could have changed it to. You can have as many changes as you like. The fact, you know, I started to do myths about the 100 last night, which was good fun. They're all wearing jeans.
Yeah. So you started to tweet out.
I did,
people were thinking, because if they weren't watching it, if they were relying on that, well, it's odd that all the players are wearing quite thick jeans on a warm night.
You know, they're having to have a tattoo when they come into bat. Yeah. Things like that. This isn't what I expected. Then people were tweeting me, you know, a hand grenade is, and one of the balls during the over was very interesting. Tigers in the outfield. It got silly, Paul.
It got
but
silly,
I did think
did.
We could have some of those
okay,
if people
yeah.
wanted to
for
do
for those that.
That
didn't see the 100, what were the great surprises for you in the 100? But overall, as I said, you haven't got to convert me. I enjoyed it and I'll probably enjoy tonight as well. And it was great that they got a good game and about 10, 12,000 people there. And look, you know, I like watching cricket, so
like,
you'll get
like
no complaints from me.
I like watching sports, so exactly.
Just a real quick one as well. We talked yesterday about those odd things that, well, you say odd things, they're kind of trying to keep our Olympic athletes feeling at home when they're in Japan. And they've taken all sorts of things out there, like phone boxes and sofas and beds and giant Connect Four and Jenga, jelly babies, tea bags. They've taken loads of stuff.
Home comforts.
The old red phone box and all that. So there are certain things you do. Sometimes when people go away on holiday, they go away and they always try and have something that they feel they have to take away with them. And the reason I bring this up, and I meant to mention it yesterday, is that my old dad, my stepdad, he had this thing about getting a decent cup of tea. When I remember going as a young kid, going abroad.
Yeah.
To Spain and stuff on these package holidays. He couldn't get a decent cup of tea in Spain, apparently.
Yeah.
The whole of... We
it's just not the
whole.
Same, son.
No, it wasn't. So he used to take a small sort of camping gas thing. This was in the days when you could take sort of, butane on on an aeroplane.
Butane on a plane.
On a butane
smoking
on a plane.
Smoking next to the butane.
Yeah, that's right. So, he used to turn up with it and he'd have his little Calagas heater and he'd make himself a sort of kettle and he'd make himself a cup of tea in the room.
The heat that's the problem, is it?
No, but
for the cup of tea.
No, but he thought that he could generate his own hot water. You know, this is he needed to do that.
Okay, he needed
this was in the days if you asked a Spanish hotel for a cup of hot water, you had no chance. No chance.
All right, so he'd take the complete.
He'd take his own tea bags, he'd take his complete tea making kit with him, which I always thought was a bit odd.
It's a bit too much for me. I can understand the tea bags. And, you know, your own sort of brand of tea bags in a certain caddy or something like that. But,
no, this was the preparation.
The boiling of the water doesn't seem to me.
If he could have got the cooker in, he would have taken that. But we just wondered, maybe there are some things in the other half or the kids say to you, what are you taking that for? Why would you ever need that? Well, they're a week. Let us know this afternoon.
What do you take on holiday? Yeah.
Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. It's Olympics based, it's kind of sport.
Yeah, lovely.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
One little knock-on effect from the 100 is that after every 5 minutes of the show, in the five-minute increments, you hold up a white card.
That's what I'm doing
show
from now
it
on.
To the gallery.
When we're going into the... Yeah. Into the news now or a break. I'm just going to hold up a little card. White card. What could be written on that card? Be nice if during the overs the umpire did a little sketch.
That and would
then
be
just
nice. Yeah,
showed
yeah.
it.
No, who's that? He's That's right. Cary Grant, look at that.
Tom Cruise, look at that.
Yeah, if you're like an artist, that'd be nice.
Lovely, wouldn't it?
Anyway, let's head to Tokyo.
Oh, yes, please.
And catch up with the comedian, friend of the station, friend of the show, Manchester United fan, of course, Justin Morehouse. Justin, hello.
Hi, good afternoon, evening. What time is it? Who knows? Yeah.
You've not been Justin. In the country long, have you, Justin? So what situation, are you isolating at the moment or what?
Well, I felt I've been in the country for a long time. Can I just say, the whole process is done with typical Japanese brilliance.
Right.
But it still takes a while. So okay. We have to do all sorts of tests before we set off, and obviously lateral flows and... I've had that many things shoved at my nose. I've thought I wanted Charlie's mates, you know, in comedy. All them wild guys.
Yeah, it's crazy guys.
Yeah.
Crazy guy. I'm on about Sinex and,
of course,
you know, that sort of stuff. And so, yes, we're all clean as went out and, you know, keeping distance from everybody before we went. We final tests before you get on the plane. You get on the plane, off you go. And then, oh, my goodness, to get through... You know, immigration is bad enough whenever you land somewhere else, isn't it?
Mm.
Put in there, it's an Olympics thing. Put in there, we've got this pandemic. Oh, my word. Bits of paper and all sorts. Of the testing is very different in Japan. There's no things up your nose. You have to spit into a tube.
Oh, wow.
Which is almost like a fairground game in itself. It's quite a thin... And I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had to give a urine sample.
Mm.
But the same sort of thing happens. You get dry mouth nerves.
Right.
Suddenly you're like, oh God, I can't do this. So then you have to wait for your number to get called and eventually you pass on that thing that you get through. So yesterday was quite a 24 hours of traveling really with all that. And then we have to isolate for 3 days in a hotel. And if you've ever seen Lost in Translation, you will sympathize with my view now as I look across Shibuya, crossing with all the neon.
Wow! So you're in a good central place. Spot. Then you're in the heart of it all. But you're looking on from a window.
I literally can't go anywhere. And Tokyo, I've been to Tokyo a couple of times. But if you've been, you know it is. You know the word metropolis was written for this place, wasn't it? And it's eerily quiet after 8 o'clock because all the shops are shut, the bars are shut, the restaurants are shut. They are in a state of emergency at the moment. So. You know, there's very little on the roads where normally, you know, the streets would be thronged with people, especially on a warm summer's evening because it's really hot here. So people would come out later, wouldn't they?
Mm. So you're there on a sort of corporate jolly, aren't you, Justin? And how much of the games...
Charlie!
How much of the games are you going to actually
Charlie,
get to watch?
Hang on a minute, Charlie. Can we just dial back on this? I'm here representing Team GB. Like
of course, I do apologise.
That's what I'm doing.
I do apologise. Because, of course, Amber Hill, she couldn't go, obviously. Have they tapped you on the shoulder?
Have they worked? They see me doing a bit of clay pigeon on a snag do. Reckon I was pretty good at it.
If they do start to drop, Justin, I mean, anything could happen. You could be in the
squad. Well, he's here.
Suddenly, he's here. Look, we've got to use... It's like an old Ealing comedy, isn't it? Call for Justin. Yeah, and then you do about six or... Alf Tupper. He does about six or seven events.
I've got my own spikes.
My own... Yeah, forget Daly's on later, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my own decathlon. So tomorrow is the opening ceremony, of course. So everyone's very excited. We've done our first recce today because we're allowed. Our bubble is the hotel and the venue where we are working. So that's a very sterile sort of corridor of place. So we've been today to see the setup, and it's above the Aston Martin garage.
Ooh.
I mean, it's so British in Japan. It's beautiful. So we start work sort of like next week. And my job is what they call managing victory. So as athletes have finished competing, hopefully they've medalled, and that is a verb, by the way. You're allowed to use that verb.
Medalled.
Once they've medalled, they come through the Team GB house, and part of the process is that sponsors and things like that. And we're doing a little TV program on socials and media, you know, YouTube and all stuff like that, where we chat to have a bit of fun. Sort of, do you know what I mean? This is the real thing they've come for now. They've dedicated, you know, years and an extra year to preparing for this. Then to get grilled by Morehouse on a sofa.
You're Davina McCall. As they leave the Big Brother house, which is the Olympics house, you're there. So what did you think? How did you think you got on, you know?
Oh, parole officer.
Yeah.
One of the two. Yeah. So
Justin,
I'm really looking forward to it.
We're talking about...
Sorry, I'm talking a lot.
No, it's
here,
fine.
I've been
it's
on
right.
my own for like 24 hours. Here.
It's fine. Paul's dad used to take with him full stove and gas heater,
so he could make a decent cup of tea.
And I know you're a vegan, and you are big on your food. Your Instagram is big on your food and where you like to eat.
Yeah.
Have you taken anything with you that you're gonna in your bag specifically for the trip?
I tell you what I've taken, mate. Google Translate app.
Right.
To see what, because you can normally guess at soy or something like that, but when it's like squiggly lines, when it's in Japanese, you've not got a chance. So I'm using the Google Translate app to try and get some food. But I mean, the service, and I just, you know, it's a different. I don't know if you've ever been to Japan, Paul, but
I've not. No, I've never been.
I genuinely, I'm not a well-traveled person, but I've been here a couple of times before, and it blows your socks off. It's one of them places where you think you know it, and you walk around and you feel it feels familiar because it's so many films and things like that. It's so different than anything we would normally see in West. It's kind of like very Western but very Eastern at the same time. I mean, I'm not really doing it justice, am I? The Tokyo Tourist Board. Western and Eastern. I think they've already got that one in Turkey, where he speaks.
They probably have. Yeah. Jacobs, when he went, said finding your way around was difficult because my street signs aren't in English. Normally around the Olympics, there would be lots of signage, but because no one can travel, there was no real need to do that. Is it a bit more accessible because it's Olympics time or not?
I don't know, because we just get in a car and we get taken there by fixers.
Right.
Corporate jolly.
Do you know my favourite thing? This is my favourite story so far. So we're out. I'm out here working with DFS, who are one of the principal sponsors of Team GB. And two of the girls who came, who are brilliant, Emma and Claire, who I've worked with before. They changed on the plane as we got off the plane. They changed from their plane clothes, what they've been wearing on the plane. They weren't wearing plane clothes.
Well, plain clothes. They were wearing a uniform. They were in plain clothes.
They changed their travel outfit to some of the Team GB garb they've been given. So because they thought it'd help them get through quicker. They just got put into a room with a load of athletes and had to quarantine for longer.
Oh, no.
Have you got your Shelly on? Are you wearing your Shelly, Justin? Are you in the Team GB
vest?
Outfits?
Your vest?
I've got some Team GB stuff. Nice. I've got some clothes. Yeah. I'll tell you what, don't try and shop for clothes if you're, I mean, any size, but my size in particular. I mean, the only place I'm going to go is Sumo's R Us, because they don't really. I'm reminded of when I went to see Charlie once down near where he lives in his lovely Oxfordshire village. I called into Bicester Village, you know, the outlet place.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get anything there that fits you unless you are Japanese.
No.
It's tiny. Everything's tiny.
It's like Zara. You're going to only fit the shoes in Zara.
I thought you meant the member of the royal family.
No. Speaking of Olympians.
She loves her business.
Oh. Well, we're glad we were able to give you a little 10-minute break. And so how are you filling your time? Watching telly or
Watching telly. Doing a bit of writing.
Nice.
Communities always say that.
Yeah.
Charlie will tell you this. Whenever we travel, if people are bored of you, they go, I've got to go to my room now. They've either got to do their accounts or they're writing.
I've got some writing to do.
But my second favourite thing that happened, I'll tell you this because I know you probably need to go now and talk about something more important than myself. But a guy comes up to me in the airport, the official dignitary to take us up. He walks up to me with a sign, and I don't look at the sign. He looks at me and looks at the sign. You know what I'm trying to say? You are. He goes, Alistair Brownlee?
No, quite. I could probably do the cycling.
Very easy off-season.
You know what?
He brought his own bike.
Did he?
He couldn't even get in a lift. Yeah, he had to push his own bike through.
Wow, it was the triathlon, you'd have to have it, wouldn't you? So his brother can't come. He got done, didn't he? His brother got done for dunking another person in the swim, whether he did it or not.
We'll never know.
Justin, thanks, Justin.
We'll catch up with you later. And let's hope you get through
the next
48 hours and enjoy yourself. We'll speak to you soon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on TalkSport. Birthday Spread coming up a little bit later on. Andy Jacobs, Jeff Peters joining us as always for that one. But first, we're going to talk cycling. And it's quite hard to put into context just what Mark Cavendish achieved on the Tour de France ended at the weekend. He wasn't even due to be in the Tour.
No.
It was a last-minute call up to that. Has fought back from a debilitating illness and went into the Tour. I don't know what his expectations are. We will find out in a few moments' time. But he won his second green jersey, won four stages, and equaled the great Eddie Merckx record for
incredible
most stage wins. He's had a few days to dwell on it.
Yes.
I think he's having a quarantine at the moment, so he joins us now. Hiya, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, we're good.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, I suppose some people say, quarantining driving me mad, but you're probably quite enjoying a little bit of quiet time, aren't you, after the last few weeks?
That's quite nice, actually. Yeah, I just got back yesterday. I had to do this like little race on Tuesday. It's kind of the hometown of where my team is. And then we got back, but yeah, it's nice to be back. But I've got four kids, you know, and play 3 days with them is harder than 3 weeks on the Tour de France.
I have this theory actually that a lot of sports are invented by men to get away from their families for as long as possible. A 5-day test match and also a 3-week cycling race.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there is a pattern forming, and that's very true. So, I suppose in football terms, you did a Denmark almost. I mean, I do wonder if that had a bearing on it. The fact that you. Did that take any pressure off, or was when you were there, was the pressure like it always was? Or was it, you know, look, I wasn't expecting to be here, let's make the best of it, or is that too simplistic?
Yeah, it was like that. It's how the last kind of couple of years have been for me, to be fair. Like, during most of my career, you know, I won everything that I tried, you know? And so it was always like the news was never if I won, it was only if I lost, really. And that kind of added the pressure. And then, yeah, the last years, obviously, I was sick. I had Epstein-Barr virus. I had depression. I all sorts going on. And I was on a recovery road back. I was told I should retire, you know. And so there's no pressure. There was no expectation. And but I would never have gone if I didn't think I could be competitive. You know, I'm in the strongest team in the world, and I knew we could go and be competitive. And obviously took the opportunity to go. And once I'd won the first one, then the pressure come back. But that was nice, you know, and like the Euros were on, England was doing well, and you're in your little bubble there. But you know, you feel support, and everyone's on a high, aren't they? So
yeah.
What is it about your specific physical makeup, Mark, that makes you good at sprints? Is there something particularly about you physically that that makes it work for you? Because, you know, I'm not being rude, you're not getting any younger and you're still super fast.
I don't know. Well, first and foremost, I think the actual scientific makeup, I'm quite small, so I'm aerodynamic, you know.
Yeah.
And likewise, being small, I've got small man syndrome, so I'm angry, you know. And, I got fire in my eyes to try and win, you know. And I think that's it. I just like winning, you know. I missed it the last years, and it was nice to be back. Like, the Tour de France is like the biggest annual sporting event on the planet. It's bigger than any bike race. Like, I built my life around it, and it gave me the life I have. And I don't know, it just means so much to go there that you just give every little drop of energy you have for it. Yeah. You know?
It appears to be so relentless, the Tour de France. The distance you're covering day in, day out, up enormous mountains and sprint finishes. When you're in it, are you riding on an adrenaline and just do you think about the whole 3 weeks, or is it a day at a time? How do you manage that?
Yeah, over the years, I've learned to cope with, you just take it day by day. You know, you obviously have to manage your, say you've got a cup of energy, you have to manage that cup so it's not empty, you know, halfway through. So you have to always think of the day after and what's coming up. But you take each stage day by day. And like, it's quite like, things are quite scientific now. You can work out what power you're going to work out, how many watts you're going to produce throughout the stage or on the climbs and stuff like that, and ride to that. Don't make it easy. Like, you know, when you see the numbers you got to put out, you know, it's not going to be nice at all, you know. But what's special is that, like, it's a team sport. Like, it's hard to put cycling in context as a team sport, because obviously one person crosses the line first.
Yeah.
But the best analogy to put it into is like normally a striker scores goals, they'll probably get the bigger endorsement deals, the higher paycheck and that. But you know, it's quite rarely they'll get it without a setup, you know, or an assist, you know. And cycling's that. And the guy, actually, I probably do the least work of all the guys in the team. It's just I have that pressure on my shoulders to deliver it at the end of it. And I have a amazing team. Like, they deliver me in the sprints, you know, they ride in front of me, like, keep me out of the wind, keep me sheltered so I can save energy for the sprint. And then in the mountains, they protect me, do the same. We're just at a much slower pace, you know, so I can get through as best as possible.
Those listening that didn't follow the tour will maybe think, we said you equaled Eddie Merckx's record. There was an opportunity going into the Champs-Élysées to beat it.
Got boxed in.
Well, exactly. People may think, well, maybe the legs couldn't go one more last time. But you were in good shape. You were in a good position, weren't you? A couple of kilometres.
You know, I was in a bad position.
two or three kilometres out, you weren't in bad nick. You seemed like, you know, it was still on at that stage, wasn't it?
Mate, with a less than a kilometre to go, I was in a perfect position. I was on my lead out man's wheel, the final guy that delivers me.
Yeah.
And another team came with the eventual winner, and I found the eventual winner's wheel. And I thought, that's a perfect wheel to be on. So I left my own lead out man to follow that guy. And then another team, their plan was to box me in. I was like, I talked to them about it afterwards. They said, it was our plan. The only way to beat you is to not let you sprint. So actually, I didn't even sprint on Sunday. I was just sat there in a box, like when you put a cat in a box to take it to the vets and it starts like lashing out. Like, that's how I can't help. You know? It was the final. It changed this year. So it used to always be 300 meters from the final corner, the finish line. On the Champs-Élysées, it was always the same finish line for 40 years, you know. And they changed it this year and they put it further out, like 700 meters after finish. And actually, I'm so used to doing that sprint. I've won there four times. And I'm so used to doing that sprint as riding for 300 meters out that in the end, it was that was ingrained in me that kind of I lost it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You know, like you have the initial disappointment of losing a stage, but we got the green jersey out of it. We won five stages for the team. I won four of them, and it was a successful Tour de France.
Very successful.
Eddie Merckx himself has reacted to it. He told a nice story I was reading the other day that he said when Mark stayed at my house, which he did with some other riders during the criteriums, he was the only one who cleaned his room, left it neat and tidy. He's a gentleman of real politeness. And he says nice things about you.
He's nice. He's like, I'm proud to be at home, a friend, you know. Mm. Like, I've known Eddie a while. He was obviously, every young cyclist is their hero growing up. And he's Belgian. I had the most successful years of my career with my current team, Deceuninck Quickstep. I was with them for 3 years earlier on, from 13 to 15. And I had most of my most successful years there. And I got to know Eddie really well. And it's really nice. Like, honestly, like, people have talked about this record for a while, because it was kind of, wasn't even something I planned to do. It was just that I'd done everything else, so they found something else. Do you know what I mean? It was a way to kind of put in what I did at the, like, point of perspective, what I do at the Tour de France. And like, you can't compare Eddie Merckx and myself, you know, like we're different bike riders. You know, it was just a number. It just so happens that it's both our names that have that number. Yeah, he's probably as sick of the question of the record as I was, you know what I mean? And,
did you have an Eddie Merckx bike growing up? A lot of people had those, didn't they? A lot of
I've
got 501 Reynolds frame.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I was a little bit after it, like.
Oh, yeah, of course. So the question everybody's been asking you in the last few days, and you know, is you're going to go for it again? I mean, you know, it's probably a bit too soon to answer that. How are you feeling physically now? Do you feel any different post big event than you normally do?
Like, I think that was my 13th Tour de France, and every one, the days after, you're like, never doing that again. Never. Like, what a stupid event that is, like, you know? And then, by now, by the Thursday after, you're like, well, I can't wait for next year. And it's just like that. Like, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Obviously, it's a year away yet. It'd be nice to, but I don't know. Like, I'm 36 years old now. I'm not getting any younger. But I still enjoy riding my bike, and still enjoy racing. So we'll see what happens. You know, I enjoy the racing, just not really the pressure. So.
Yeah, nearly a mammal now, Mark, middle-aged man in Lycra. Yeah. Now it's you now. Just be Sunday holding the traffic up.
I've got the gut to make me a proper one, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Get on the beers, you'll be all right. Most of them only do it for the cake stop.
Well, congratulations, Mark. Absolutely fantastic. And we do hope you'll be back next year. Good to talk to you. All the best. Enjoy your enforced break, but I'm sure you'll have a good time with the family. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Thank you.
Cheers. Take care. Mark Cavendish there. Incredible. Yes, that 34 stage wins equaling the great Eddie Merckx and 4 stages in another green jersey. It's quite amazing.
I don't think you can underestimate how difficult the Tour de France is. Those mountains are unbelievable. Mount Ventoux, have you ever seen? How they do it, I've no idea.
A whole book about, we spoke to the author of the MIT.
The
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Been asking you this afternoon about some of those weird, wonderful things you tend to take away with you on holiday or when you're travelling. You think, well, why do you need that? Gab Cancello says, when my dad's cousin visited us from Italy in the mid-70s, she arrived with 2 suitcases, one with the clothes, the other full of delicacies like sausages, salami and cheese.
Lovely.
It'd be great on the old Aussie Border Force show, would she? Wouldn't
she's
go down
welcome,
well.
Welcome in my house.
She also bought bottles of Italian water, as she heard English water was terrible to make coffee with. Well, that is belt and braces.
The thing is, they do make good coffee in Italy, so she might have a point.
Yes, she could. I remember the first time I ever went to the San Siro, go and watch a game. Thought I'd go and get a coffee at half-time. It was a cold night. Got the old Gaggia on. But it makes you a proper spray. It was fantastic.
Best coffee you've ever had in your life.
It was like going to Bar Italia, but at a football match.
A little bit of dust in click pack.
Not someone giving you molten lava with some dust floating on the top of it. No, it was quite a shock. They take it seriously.
I've been told off, Paul. Charlie, when something is really difficult, e.g. cycling up a mountain, it's impossible to overestimate how difficult it is. I think I said it's impossible to underestimate.
Oh, okay.
It is possible to underestimate it. Just go, yeah, it's crazy. It doesn't look that hard. I did say, and also, yesterday, apologies to Morecambe fans. Congratulations on your promotion to League One. I do apologise. But League Two is full of non-league.
He lumped you in with
League Two is full of non-league sides. It doesn't look very good this season.
Okay.
National League's where it's at.
Right, okay, well, that's all eyes on.
Lovely
the
thought for the day on the front of the Star today, Paul, which is nice. Happy Belgium Day to the most boring country in the world. That's what they've said on the front of the Star.
Really?
Today,
what, Belgium?
Thought for the day. It's normally like a sort of prayer, isn't it? Or, you know, a stitch in time saves 9, they say.
Yeah. It's well, a bit harsh on Belgium.
A bit harsh on Belgium.
I've had good times in Belgium.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not... all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all right. Okay. I've done a couple of things in Brussels.
You're trying to get a column for the Star, right?
No. But I'm just saying, I thought that was a bit cruel. Front page, thought for the day.
Brussels Beer Festival. I tell you what, it's coming up. So it probably won't be coming up the way things are at the moment.
White beer, is it?
We had a little gentleman's trip there, and
a gentleman's
in the
trip
in the sort of Grand Place. They just turn it into a massive beer festival. It's absolutely sensational.
Hogarden, things like that. Is that Belgian beer?
It was lots of different breweries from around the world.
Once again, drinking outside.
There's no cricket being played.
No cricket being played, but they call it a festival. Drinks festival, which is basically just men standing outside drinking.
It was a joy. Very good. On the subject of taking team-making facilities on holiday, my dad, says Paul, put himself in charge of packing the bag so he could get the hot leaf-based beverage ingredients safely stowed away. On one occasion, my mum was horrified to find that in order to pack everything in, he had stuffed her knickers into a small metal teapot. Didn't help the flavour. Oh, Paul, no need for that.
Didn't need the last bit.
Oh, dear.
There we are. We've got to find somewhere. It's a good way to pack, isn't it? Roll it up. What's that, Marie Kondo? She'd have done that, wouldn't she? I mean,
oh, yeah, you see that's right. She
rolls up your pants.
Yeah, does she?
Put them in a teapot.
She offers it. Oh, okay. I'm sure that's not right.
Pull them out like Aladdin. Like a genie in Aladdin.
Pull them out through.
You've got three wishes.
Pull your underpants.
Not with those knickers.
Underpants through the spout. Anyway, leave it, Charlie.
Leave it.
Anything else you want to tell me about today?
Yeah, Frederick Forsyth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's done all sorts of...
The plumber.
Day of the Jackal. That was his main one, wasn't it?
That was a main book. Yeah.
He's 82. He says he can't get through 10 pages of any book or novel.
Right.
Of the last 20 years.
Not even 10 pages.
Just can't get into it.
Right.
Can't get into it. You can sort of imagine that with
Frederick
Forsyth.
Doesn't grip him.
He says doesn't want it, but Day of the Jackal, that's a good film, isn't it, Paul?
It was. Yeah. Not seen it for years,
no,
Charlie.
Not seen it.
Maybe I've seen it, but not seen it for years. Oh, I'll
revisit. That'll be right up your street.
Yeah, well, no, it's a corker. One of the sad things about the Olympics, as we've seen it in football, of course, is that the athletes... won't get their medals presented to them. They'll have to kind of put their own medals round their necks. So I suppose they'll have to take them off of a box and say, winning gold for Team GB, Adam Peaty, and then he'll hold it, and then he'll just have to take it off of a box and just sort of stick it round his own neck.
Shake his own hand.
Yeah.
Himself on the cheek.
You haven't got to play... I don't think they'll have to play their own anthem on a kazoo.
Sing it themselves.
It's just... it's a shame, isn't it?
Raising the flag, like they're a cub, putting the flag up themselves. Yeah.
There was a very interesting piece today in the Telegraph. They spoke to a bunch of people who've won gold medals and asked them where they keep their gold medals.
That's always nice, isn't it?
And from Duncan Goodhue, Mark Lewis Francis, Sally Gunnell, Greg Searle, Johnny Searle. And most of them, the general consensus was, in a drawer. Either in a sort of underwear drawer, sock drawer, drawer at home.
In a teapot?
No teapots. Duncan Goodhue in a safe.
Done, Duncan. That seems... Where would you keep yours, Paul? I'd wear it. I'd just wear it. Constantly have it on.
I knew somebody who knew a bit of... knew Sir Steve Redgrave, and he went into this... He was a teacher, and he went into the... Sir Steve went into the school and showed all his medals to the kids. And then about a couple of days later, he phoned him up and he said... You haven't seen Barcelona, have you? I can't find it. He got it back, but they just...
One of the kids had it.
When you've got that many, it's quite difficult to store, isn't it? No, the kids didn't have it away. Some kid walking around the old playground.
What
proud
do you mean,
of
this?
Himself.
This is when I won them.
I've won this in Barcelona.
Fours.
You weren't even born. Detention.
But so, I'm a gold medal winner, miss.
I represent... I'm the greatest thing this school's ever done.
The greatest Englishman ever, they say.
Anyway, birthday spread coming up next. Mm. Can Charlie do better than Max? It won't be difficult, but let's find out as Andy Jacobs and Jeff Peters joins us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it's that time again. It's time for the birthday spread. 10 birthdays of the week, not of the day. And Andy Jacobs has got a gilt edge gag for each one of them. We've got to try and guess how old they are. And a margin of error will build. The one with the shortest margin of error after the 10 birthdays, who's come closest with each birthday, is the winner. It's been a couple of weeks, I can't remember the score. But Max Rushton normally plays this. He's sunning himself on a beach. Charlie Baker is in for him. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Charlie. Big opportunity for you, Charlie, this afternoon. If it goes well, you could be coming in every week at this slot.
Wow. Well, we'll see how the jokes go. That's what I'm most interested in.
Well, they're not really jokes.
Oh.
Can I qualify
that? I've seen that Edinburgh show.
Jeff Peters keeps the score. Good afternoon, Jeff. There's that phone again. Jeff's in his East Midlands Nerve Centre.
It's quite busy.
It's Paul 21, Max 3. But, of course, this is Paul nil, Charlie nil. So it's a clean slate.
Can you tell us who normally starts? I'm a bit vague on the rules. Is it normally the winner kicks off or the loser starts, Jeff? Can you remember?
I think we just make it up as we're going along.
Okay, then. Well, I'll kick it off, Charlie.
If it's the loser starts, mugs off, we always say.
I'll give you a marker, Charlie. Okay. I'll kick it off. Okay. We're always joined by Pele at this point, who supplies the music. So, Andy, what's the first birthday this week?
Well, it's music. It's a very happy birthday to the guitarist and rock musician Carlos Santana. I used to play football with Carlos, actually. He's one of the dirtiest players I've ever seen. Really naughty tackles. He used to leave his foot in. I said to him, Santana, you've got to change your evil ways.
That's nice. Yeah,
very nice.
Wrong song, but never mind.
It's all the same song.
Memo incoming.
He's played. He's working at the disco end, is Jeff. I'd say Carlos Santana, probably about 77. I'm going to go 77.
I was thinking early 70s.
Oh, okay, Charlie, what do you reckon?
I was thinking, but now I'm thinking, is he 80? Is he one of those ones who just... He's one of those time travellers, isn't he? Been around a long time.
Yeah.
Let's go 81.
81. What is he, Andy?
Not bad. At least you've heard of him. I don't think Max has ever even heard of him, but he's 74.
74? Okay, you did say 70s. What's that done with the scores, Jeff?
Well, Paul is 3 out and Charlie is 7 out, so it's 3-7.
3-7. Charlie will lead off this time. Okay. Andy.
Okay, very happy birthday to the cricketer, Surrey in England, and Oval Invincibles, Jason Roy. And I'm looking forward to a poetry reading Jason's doing, featuring the work of the early 20th century anti-war poet, Siegfried Sassoon. Yes, there's nothing lifts the spirits like a bit of Siegfried and Roy.
Beautiful.
That was lovely. Yeah, a bit of Siegfried. 28 years old.
That's a good guess. Yeah, I'll go 27.
31.
Is he right? He always gets boyish, isn't he? He wears that helmet all the time.
They play forever, don't they?
See what he looks like. Yeah. So, what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
It closes the gap. So, Paul 4 out. Max.
Wow.
Charlie 3 out.
Kicking
how quickly
teeth.
They forget.
He'll be Paul, pleased with them, ain't he?
Paul is on 7 and Charlie is on 10.
Okay.
Third birthday. First. Very happy birthday to the actor from Drop the Dead Donkey and many other fine comedies, Jeff Rawl.
Jeff Rawl.
And we used to interview him, actually, but he only ever wanted to come on when he was promoting something, so I had to put a stop to it. I said, I've had enough of these Rawl plugs.
Drilled down on that one, didn't you, Andy?
There's a lot of science in it.
For all the tradespeople out there.
two for one Rawl plugs at Wix.
Nice. Okay. Well, we don't know that's a fact.
Or Selco.
You say that. Well, no, because you're actually making it worse. Because people will now go in there and say, well, I heard it on TalkSport. Take a notice on that. Do not go in either of those stores for 2 for 1.
Jeff Rawl.
Because he's making it up. I'm first this time, Charlie.
Yeah, okay.
It's the anarchy, the level of anarchy. I don't know what I prefer, the anarchy of Charlie or the mad game face of Max Rushton. I'd say Jeff Rawl, 73. What do you think, Charlie?
I think he's 77.
77, okay. What is it, Andy?
He's 70. I thought he was younger myself.
Yeah, I remember. I would have thought he spent a long time ago.
Dropped Dead Donkey was 90s, wasn't it?
He would have been
30 in that, wasn't he?
That's true. There was science in our guesses. Oh. What's that done to the scores, Jeff? Mm.
Paul is 3 out. Charlie is 7 out. Paul on to 10. Mm. Charlie on 17.
Oh, it's very much a competition. Charlie will kick us off
with this
one.
Plenty to play for you.
Birthday number.
Okay, it's Roger Hunt, the Liverpool player, of course, member of the 1966 World Cup winning team, Roger Hunt. I've just bought an antique toilet that once belonged to Roger from Jeff Hurst. Yeah. Jeff told me, Roger said it was good, and I've gone on that for 55 years.
Hey. It's a gift.
You knew where it was going.
I'll tell you, it was a tapping. It was a tapping, but Roger never dealt in tappings.
Okay, I'm going to say he is 79.
That's good. I was going to say 78. I'll stick with what I was going to say. So what is he?
He's 83, believe it or not.
No, again, he's looking good. He was. Tremendous. He came in only a couple of years ago, didn't he? And he still looks in great nick. Yeah.
Very good score so far. Paul is on 15, Charlie is on 21.
Yeah, sorry, Annie.
No, I watched that the other day with the World Cup in colour, and Roger's reaction, he sees it's a goal, he just turns straight away.
He's not trying to get in the old lines when the referee's head by celebrating, is he? I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the rock drummer. I've never heard of him, but I suspect Paul has. The rock drummer, Jack Irons. Ooh. Jack Irons. Although I do know his cousin Ulysses. He's a massive West Ham fan. You Irons.
You know what? Jack Irons. The dance is probably Jack saying, Irons. You know Jack Irons. I don't think I do know Jack Irons.
You don't know Jack about Irons.
I don't know. I don't. Jack, I'm going to have a complete guess. Jack Irons.
Rock drummer, Jack
Irons.
Could be anything.
Could be 20, could be 60. This is a difficult one. This is probably Max knows who Jack Irons is, and he'll be going mad on his poor missus. He's going to spend all night going, I knew Jack Irons. I knew Jack Irons. And he'll be a bloke. I can't eat my dinner. I just want to go to bed. I'd say he is, I don't know, I'm going to just 64.
I think that's pretty good. I'm going to say 58.
Good guess, 59.
Get in. Come on.
Fantastic. Come on. What's the score, Jeff?
At the halfway point, very exciting. Paul is 5 out with that guess. Charlie, 1 out with that guess. It's 20, plays 22. Paul is in the lead by just 2.
I tell you what, it's so refreshing to have some proper competition in this game. It really is. A proper contest. Anyway, we'll leave it there. It's half-time. What a competition it is.
And
you're getting on at home. Let us know. And we'll continue very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Top professional drummer Craig Blundell has been in touch. Jack Irons, founder of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Thank you, Craig. Yeah,
Flea on bass.
Maybe we should have known,
isn't it?
Yeah. And, you said you used to go
Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah.
You used to, someone else.
And the other one. You know what you're saying?
Plus one.
Make him feel special. you said you used to go out and play Red Hot Chili Peppers covers
as a teenager. I had a teenage band like lots of people. We were called Gordon's Alive. Gordon's Alive!
Yeah.
And we used to do Jimi Hendrix and Chili Peppers covers. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, very good.
Fantastic. We'll bring a tape in next week?
No, I don't even got any tape. Probably is a tape, actually. Probably is a C90. Bring the C90 in.
Brilliant. Anyway, we've got the birthday spread. We're halfway through. It's some competition. I'm 20 out on the 5 birthdays. And Charlie is 22. He is up next. Andy Jacobs has got the gags and the birthday. Jeff Peters is keeping the score. Pele. Here we go then. Next birthday.
Yes. We get the second half underway with Vin Diesel, the actor Vin Diesel.
When Vin comes
to England now, he prefers to stay outside of central London. As a sufferer of terribly bad indigestion, every time he broke wind in the West End, Diesel had to pay £12.50 for trumping in an ultra-low emission zone.
And yes, far too graphic.
I really saw that coming from about 3 streets away, that one.
Anyway, Vin Diesel, probably older than he looks.
Vin Diesel, yeah. Is it
103? No, it's you next, Charlie.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to say 55 for Vin Diesel.
Probably is. Still playing
the old bald head, it keeps you young forever.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
it does.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff there. I'd say, 54. I'm not on your coattails.
The old one under.
No, but I just
things.
Think you're right, Charlie. Okay. You're good at this game and you're guessing well. So what's the score? What is it?
Yes,
sorry,
both of you spot on, really. 54.
54. Paul's spot on.
Yeah, direct hit for Paul. Nice. Charlie, 1 out. So 20 to Paul, 23 to Charlie.
Okay. Still nothing in it, though. I'm next. Here we go.
Yeah, we got some tricky ones now. Okay, it's the film director, Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah.
And Paul and I used to do a Greco-Roman wrestling together.
Did you really?
And one week we were joined by a Burnley in England centre-half. I was the lead instructor and Paul would then mentor our guest. And after one complex move, I said, roll over, Verhoeven, and tell Tarkovsky the news. I'm leaving now.
That's a sensation. That's very good. I've always wondered why you don't do the successful feature daily, and I've realised it takes Andy a week to write the joke.
We used to do it back in the day every day.
Yeah.
It's got up to 10 every day. It nearly killed him.
Well done, Andy. It's very good.
Paul Verhoeven. Showgirls, was that one of his? Mm. Yeah, I'd say...
You've seen that one.
Well, you know, just from an artistic point of view. I'd say 67.
Mm, I was going to go up there, yeah. I'm going to say 72.
You know what? He's 83.
Oh! Paul Verhoeven. Okay, so what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Paul, you are 16 out. Mm-hmm. Charlie, you are 11 out. It is now... Mm. Paul, 36. Yeah. Charlie, 34. Charlie in the lead by two with three to go.
Oh, what a game.
Okay, Max's tenure in trouble here now. Okay, it's the composer, Jonathan Dove. Jonathan Dove. And him and his brother used to play wide right and wide left for our local team. I love it because Charlie can guess this already. We won everything that season. But then a new manager came in and played 3-5-2. They left and we won nothing. Oh for the wings of the Doves. Thank you.
God, blimey.
For the wings of a dove.
Yeah. Do you know this guy? What's his name?
Jonathan Dove.
Jonathan Dove. Is it Jonathan Dove?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's in his 40s. I'm going to say 42.
Do you know him?
I think I do. Okay. Might not do. Might be someone else completely.
I'll go 56.
He's 62. It's obviously an age since you last saw him, Charlie.
Oil of ole.
That's all gone wrong.
Oh, yeah. that has changed
really
things.
Swung it
around. Paul only six out on that. Charlie, sadly, 20 out on that one.
Disaster.
So the score
Max
now is
cheering.
Paul he is, isn't he? Paul is on 42. Charlie 54. 12 in it. Two to go.
I was coasting then.
I'm next. Yeah, you did have a bit of a cigar on. Let's see what happens now.
Oh well. Happy birthday to the actor. He used to be in Z-Cars, believe it or not. John Woodvine. And every year, his family invite me to help make a Texas-style brisket barbecue. There's nothing I enjoy more than smoking with a pack of Woodvines.
I'd say...
one for the teenagers.
Well, he's got to be old. If he's in Z-Cars, he's got to be old. John, with respect, he could have been one of the kids in it, but... it's got to be at 87.
Yeah,
87.
I was thinking up there, weren't you?
What are we going, Charlie?
92.
92. John Woodvine.
Oh, John Woodvine is 92.
Goal!
Hey, that's impressive. Ganger! What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Well, it tightens things up. With one to go, there is seven in it. Paul is on 47 and Charlie is on 54. Now, for this final one, are we going to get the guys to write the guesses down? Are we gonna do that?
Do you want to do this? Want to go with this one now? Do we write the guesses down? Although, yeah, I suppose if I go first, doesn't that have the same effect? I think we only did that once because it was a draw. Whereas I think if I go first,
that's the way it goes, isn't it? Otherwise, because you could just go one under me and then you've won it.
I won't do that. So I'll go first. I think that probably does it. I'm looking at the producer. He doesn't care.
Well,
he's got his coat on.
He's only
got his
bag. taking it seriously.
He just wants to get the hell out of here. So he's got better things to do, apparently. So anyway, I'll go first, Charlie. We'll go with that.
Yeah, okay.
One. Yeah, here we go then, Andy.
Our final birthday of the day. She's the editor, rather, of the London Review of Books. Oh. Or she was from 92 to 21, just retired. Now a consulting editor. It's Mary Kay Wilmers. Mary Kay Wilmers, and her husband Fred was always locking himself out. He used to wait the whole street. I don't think I'll bother to do it, but you know what's coming.
What did he do?
Wilmers!
Yeah, he's always shout that, yeah. I'd say, well, giving up that gig, I mean, you could probably do it from 92 to that sort of age. 69 I'm going to go for.
Yes.
69.
London Review of Books.
London Review of Books. You could do it into your dotage.
69. I need to sort of be seven away from you anyway to try and win, don't
eight.
I?
So eight, really.
Eight to try and win.
You can go
so
higher.
What did you
lower
say? 60.
I went 69.
69. I'm going to say the other way. 77.
77. Okay. Andy Jacobs.
Mary Kay Wilmers is 83.
Yeah! Even I'm so
bang! How exciting!
Brilliant!
So exciting!
Charlie's rushed in.
Charlie wins by one!
Thrilled!
What a great result!
He'll be crashing.
He won by one, and he laughed at my jokes.
He's ruined the Airbnb he's in now.
She'll be chucking the TV out. what's wrong with you? And he's saying, just leave it, okay. Just leave it. You don't understand.
Oh,
well done, Charlie. Congratulations.
Well, I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed playing the game. You
it's
know,
a tremendous, tremendous, well played. And I look forward to next week's battle.
I'm looking forward to it now, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah, so
no,
we
don't do any research.
No,
thank you,
Jeff. We'll catch up with you next week.
Well done. Fantastic game. Paul will be getting in your head now, Charlie. Oh, yeah. Now he's behind. We know how this works. But well done, Charlie. Brilliant.
Thanks, Jeff.
Phone him up Wednesday night. Cheers, Andy. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, see you tomorrow. Cheers.
Yes, so there we are. Charlie is the winner of the birthday spread. Congratulations to him.
I told you it was in my wheelhouse. It was a lot closer than I thought it was going to be, and also a lot more stressful than I thought it was going to be.
I think you took Max is the basically now the world number three according to one of the listeners. It's a very good spread.
The way you can try and work it out is when was you go with actors, especially you go, well, when was Zed Cars on?
Yeah,
you know, 60s. So they'll have probably been at least in their mid 20s when they were in that, and then you sort of have to work it out from there, don't you? I suppose, but
yeah, indeed,
look. I don't know. You're very, very good at it. And it's a great fun game, isn't it?
Yeah, we enjoy
play
it
with all your friends.
Just time for a quickie from Paul Forrestal, the Chelsea fan who's been in touch. We asked about things you take away with you on holiday for apparent reason whatsoever. Paul says that my father-in-law insisted on bringing his Deerstalker hat with him to Fuerteventura. He put it on as soon as we landed in 38 degrees. You must have been the only person ever to walk through their airport with the odd-looking head receptacle. I would imagine. It's
lovely.
A great look.
A Deerstalker's always a good... always a good look, isn't it? Oh, look, Charlie and Paul, Jim in Torquay. I used to watch Gordon's Alive in the piazza in Torquay.
So a fat Gordon's Alive you fan. Doing all those old
used to know Alex, the drummer, Alex Pamplin. Yeah, he was a very, very good drummer. Oh. Him and the guitarist.
Let's bring them back. Let's get Gordon's Alive back on
they're
the road.
Done. They're
let's
done.
Blues Brothers. Let's put you back on the road.
There's no call for it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. Charlie, it's been a pleasure.
A lovely week, Paul. Thank you very much. See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's it. And you're back at the weekend?
Back on Saturday, yeah, with Mark Smith on Saturday and Barry Glendinning on Sunday because Max is away. So I am Max this weekend.
Marvellous. And I'll see you on Tuesday. Andy Jacobs alongside me tomorrow. And that's it.
Not Candy Jacobs.
Maybe it is Candy Jacobs. She's not at the Olympics, so maybe it is. But anyway, if you can't listen, podcast will be available at the same time.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.